Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Okay, maybe I will go to the piano and...
Challenge, and Ben is the closest thing, and he's got, God's done a lot for him, and so Ben, why don't you come first and share, okay?
Hey there, my name is Benjamin, I'm from Union Grove, North Carolina. I grew up in a Christian home, my dad's a Baptist preacher, so I grew up knowing what to do when to do it, how to do it, but I always refused right from a youngin. And my dad, he wanted the best for us, and he sent me to a private school, and but I kept rebelling there and at home, and got kicked out of that school in sixth grade. I was homeschooled for 2 years, and while I was homeschooled when I was 13, I tried crystal meth for the first time, and there was just something about it I really enjoyed, and so that just, I dove in head first, and I was using a needle every day by the time I turned 14. And I carried that on into school. Whenever I started back going to a regular school, they tried to send me to another private school, and I was kicked out in 8 weeks. So they just finally gave up and sent me to public school. And as far as most people could tell, I was just your average troublemaker. I did well at most things that I attempted, but the only thing I couldn't do well at was staying out of trouble. Suspended, went to the alternative school, and just really had the wrong kind of respect from people. I started hanging out with a pretty rough crowd that I later became a pretty big part of, and moved out of my parents' house, somehow graduated high school, and thought I knew what was best for me. I thought I knew what I needed to do. I thought I was going to die living the life I had been living. And God had different plans. Last year in April, I went on about a 3-week binge, didn't sleep, just kept using that whole time, and toward the end of that, I was talking to my mother and my sister, and I admitted to them that I had a serious problem. And my sister and her husband, after working all day, going to church that night, drove a little over 2 hours to where I was at. I was already withdrawing. They came up there and got me and took me to their house. And the next day, it wasn't a question of, do you feel up to going to church or do you want to go to church? They said, take a shower, put on some clothes, we're going to church. So while we was in that service, I don't remember a word that preacher said. No idea. Something had a hold of me. And whenever he gave the altar call, I knew that I needed to do something. But I couldn't bring myself to go up to the altar for whatever reason. And so I went down to the basement into the youth Sunday school room, and I curled up in a ball in the corner. And I said, God, I can't do this on my own. I see that that's very obvious. I really need your help. If I'm not going to have to die like this, why don't you just go ahead and save me now? I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. And God saved me then and there. But me being a human, humans are pretty prone to mistakes. Didn't take but about a month, and I came up on a day that I have a hard time with, and thought maybe I can use just for today, and just, waste the day away and stay busy and stay high, and I'll be fine tomorrow. Well, the next day came around, and I wasn't fine at all. So I just dove right back in and went right back to my old lifestyle, right back to that same old thing that I had been doing that had been getting me in so much trouble. And on August 26th, I got arrested for manufacturing meth and several other charges dealing with that. And I was only in there for a short period of time, but my dad had told me whenever I got arrested, he said, you know, don't call the house, don't call your mother, don't call your grandma, don't bother, you know, leave us alone. And so I said, all right, and went to jail, and I sat there and just went through it, and God softened his heart after about a week, and he came over there, and at first, whenever I walked into the room and I saw him through the glass, I didn't want to talk to him, and I started to walk out, but they had already shut the door, and I figured, what the heck, I'll just go over here and talk to him for a minute and then go back out. Well, I talked to him as long as they would let me, and he asked me if there was anything about me that wanted to get help, and I was like, yeah, but I don't want your help type deal. And so he went home and he started praying, and he prayed for about a week before he came back, and came back again and said, you know, are you ready to get some help? I was like, if you think you can do anything to help this situation, you know, I started laying down, you know, all my charges. I started laying down how much time they told me that I was going to be doing. And, you know, it was overwhelming at the time, kind of, but I had started doing my best to prepare myself mentally for it. And he just looked at me and said, you know, God can do something about that. And he had a business associate that went through Teen Challenge about the year I was born, and that man came from South Carolina and spoke to the judge and the DA for me and said, look, I know where this guy needs to go. He said, I know what can help him. And somehow or another, I ended up in Teen Challenge at Sand Hills, out close to Fayetteville. And I've been through a lot in this program, and Ben right here, he's been with me through right from the very first day that I got in the program. You know, he was one of the very first people to speak to me, and now I get to travel with him on this choir. It, you know, God's great. He puts people together who, you know, otherwise we would have never met. But he put us together, and he's been such an incredible help to me, as have all of these guys, and Bob included. They, at this program, prepare us to, you know, face life, and best case scenario, never have that failure of using a drug again because we don't know how to handle something. Instead of picking up that needle, we're taught to pick up the Bible or to fall straight to our knees and talk to God about what's really going on. I appreciate y'all listening, and thank y'all for having us.
The other Ben right here, he's actually graduating in October, and something interesting happened. They have a praise band there at the Teen Challenge that he was a part of, and you know, things at Teen Challenge can change sometimes by the second. Let me tell you, and the choir changes almost every month, just normally, and sometimes it can change even more than that, you know, much quicker than that. if a student commits an infraction, they can be removed from the choir, the counseling department, they have ways of, you know, there are certain things that they do. And so a couple of choir members were recently removed, and I really needed a first tenor. And so I thought, well, is there anyone, you know, that can sing high that, you know, that we can use? And so the choir says, yeah, Ben, here, this fellow. And so he got the surprise of his life. He was working in the potato farm. Well, why don't you tell the folks what happened, okay?
Potato farm, it's the hardest job on the mountain. You know, you 50-pound bags all day long, and it'll get you in shape, I promise you that. But, I got a call right around lunch, and Brother Kenlaw at the mountain, and he said, today's your last day at the potato farm. Do you have a problem with that? And I was like, no, sir. And he says, the other thing is the choir needs somebody to fill a spot. They want you to come and sing with them, Bob, Brother Bob Costanza. Do you have a problem with that? I was like, no, I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And so that's what happened there. And it's just, he's such a good brother, and with a passion for us and music. And I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm far from home, but it just feels so home here already. And Bob's been talking about Brant Lake for the past week, and I've been all excited, and I'm finally glad to get here. God's delivered me from drugs and alcohol. I grew up in a very abusive home, and like I said, I lived in Nashville, so my mom and father was drug addicts. And at a very early age, I became a drug addict and alcoholic, and I dove into the music scene real hard, which really was the only thing that gave me temporary joy, drugs and music. And I got married at age 28 to my ex-wife now, and had a beautiful home, beautiful marriage for about 8 years there, and two beautiful children. And things started getting bad, and I diverted to drugs and alcohol. And it led to my demise, pretty much. I lost them. I lost my children. And I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do or what to act. So the pain aside drove me just to go full bore, drugs, alcohol, as hard as I could go. And to the point where it about killed me. But a friend mentioned Teen Challenge, and I said, no, I've heard of this place, no way. And, when you're in that state. And God just kept, I'd see a Teen Challenge van or a Teen Challenge billboard or, you know, no. And then he'd ask me again. And then they put the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, in my hands, and I read that. I'm like, I looked at it for a week. I'm not reading that thing. It sat on my counter, and finally I read it, and it touched me. I mean, that probably took the callus off enough to where I cried out for help. But it didn't stop there. I went on for a few more weeks. I went on a real bad binge of liquor and pills, and I broke into a home, and that's where I tried to take my life, in a home. And I woke up, I don't remember anything, but waking up and a sheriff over me. He took me to jail, and then from contacts in the jail there, they got me into Teen Challenge, and it's been awesome. God's taught me to grow through failure. They teach you, they give you the tools there to be a man, but also, man, they lead you right to the home, to the Holy Spirit, and how to dial into Him and just relax in Him and God's good mercy. It's awesome. So thank you, guys.
It's nice to have Ben on the choir. He's only going to be on for just a short time, but on this tour, he's filling a very vital role, and he's got a great personality, and I'm sure that God got him on the choir because he was working hard at the potato farm and doing what he was supposed to do. And,
Thank you,
God rewards things like that. And Jeff, why don't you give a brief testimony? You heard from Ben, who is the youngest member of the choir. Jeff, other than myself, is the oldest member of the choir, and he's
And he's the newest one. So Jeff, come, and he's from very close to close to Teen Challenge.
Hi, I'm Jeff. I'm 54, the oldest one. I think Wayne wants to be the oldest one. He's younger than me, so we'll let him be the oldest one. So, yeah, I grew up 10 minutes from Teen Challenge, the training center. Knew all about it. Never in my wildest dreams ever thought I'd be a part of it. I was brought up in a Catholic family. My parents separated when I was young. So I didn't have a father growing up, which I wish I did because I needed my butt kicked from time to time. But my mom was a saint. We went to church. I went to Catholic high school, got married in the Catholic church. My kids went to Catholic school. But I never had a relationship with God. We never talked about it. We just went through the motions. And being a product of the 70s and 80s, we partied pretty good, you know, smoked some weed. But I went more for the alcohol. And I've been in a bunch of bad car crashes. The last one I was in a body cast for 9 months. Never once did I think about thanking God for saving my life, for anything. I made it through that. I got divorced 13 years ago, and that really started my drinking. Within 13 years, I had 4 DUIs. Spent all of 11 in jail, but I was able to keep my job thanks to my son, who picked me up and took me to work every day. So I was able to keep my job, somehow kept my house. I got out, and you know, we like to do things ourselves. I never thought that I needed any help. I thought I could control everything. Within 6 months, I had another DUI. Boom, back in jail. My attorney said, you have two choices. You're going to go upstate for a while, or you're going to go to Teen Challenge. I said, there is no way I'm going to Teen Challenge. You know, I knew all about it, and I wasn't going there at all. He said, you think about it. I'll get back with you in 2 weeks. I prayed. This last time in jail, I hit my bottom. I finally turned my will over to God, even though I try to take it back. But I prayed. Those 2 weeks went by. My lawyer came back. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I'm going to Teen Challenge. He's like, what? You serious? I said, yes, I'm serious. And it's been a blessing. I was in the Philly house for the first 4 months, and there was nothing but 18, 19, and 20-year-old kids. And they drove me crazy. I was like, well, God, what am I doing here with these guys, you know, these kids? I raised my kids. I don't want to deal with this. But I know that that I'm where I need to be. They come to me for advice. I try to give them encouragement and to have them get it at a young age and not have to go through it at my age. I've lost my job. I've lost my home of 20 years. Three of my children aren't talking to me. But I know God's working with me. Like Bob said, what a powerful service we had today. The Holy Spirit was there. And I think by our words, we've touched quite a few people today. And I'm sure it's happened everywhere we go. And that's the thing. If we just get through to one person, it's all worth it, and you know, that's what it's all about. It's helping, you know, helping each other, and I am thankful now. I'm in the program now 7 months, 6 months, and I don't know why Bob picked me to be in the choir because I can't sing that well, but maybe it's the Italian thing. I think he felt sorry for me. We're Goomba, so maybe that's it. But it's been a blessing, and I thank Bob, and this is just a great ministry to get out and to administer to people, and thanks for having us here. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Okay, we'll have one more testimony, and then we'll do one of the newer songs that we have. It's actually a medley of songs that includes a hymn, and in fact, the other song is not a hymn. It's very new, but it sounds like a hymn. And it's a real blessing. But Grant, why don't you share, and then we will sing that song
not as long as this morning. Okay.
Okay.
Grant's from a long way away, so he'll tell you
that. Hello, my name is Grant, and I am originally from Helena, Montana. My testimony begins at the age of four. My parents divorced, so I come from a broken home. My mother, in order to deal with her divorce, she turned to alcohol, and to this day, she still struggles with alcoholism. But thanks to me coming to Teen Challenge, she's opened her heart and reached out for help and started going to meetings to deal with that. So I praise God for that. And going back and forth between my mother and father's places from the age of 4 to 14, I was very, very heavily abused by my father, mentally, physically, and sexually. And just, it was very, very traumatic and very devastating to me. But thankfully, thank God, God truly blessed me by sending me an angel in the form of my grandmother Emma, who lived in Jacksonville, Illinois, who flew all the way from Jacksonville. The moment she heard what was going on when I was the age of 14, what exactly was happening in these two households, she came and knocked on my mother's door and said, you know, hey, you're coming with me. You deserve so much of a better life than what has been presented to you right now, Grant. Just come live with me. I'm opening up my heart and my home to you. So I went with her, moved in with her, and you know, grandmothers are just amazing. They have these ways of slowly planting seeds into your brain and into your heart about Christ, about God. So when she would, you know, cook macaroni and cheese, or be sweeping the floor in the kitchen, or washing windows, or whatever she was doing, she'd always be singing these amazing classic hymns that you always sang, that you just love, like How Great Thou Art, Amazing Grace, my personal favorite, His Eyes on the Sparrow, that just every time I hear my grandmother sing it, just tears me to pieces. And what, oh my gosh, it's just incredible. So, you know, she was slowly planting that in me, introducing me to the Bible, to verses that spoke to me. One very specific verse in Jeremiah that says, you know, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And about the age of 16, when I was getting into high school, it really, truly registered to me what had happened to me as a young child, what the abuse I'd gone through, and I just broke. Everything in me crumbled. I felt like chains come over me and just bind me, and I personally could not handle the pain myself. I couldn't. My grandmother tried to help me, bless her, but she couldn't do it either. She couldn't help me, give me what I needed. So I struggled through that, and I turned to drugs and alcohol, and just to fill that hole in my heart, just to fill that pain, try to erase it. And I ended up being the person then that was abusing myself, using these drugs and alcohol, and harming my own body. Thankfully, one morning I woke up, and I truly believe this, I woke up laying in my bed and heard the voice of my grandmother singing in my head, and I truly believe that was the voice of God using my grandmother's voice to speak to me, and it was this song, you know. And I remembered that verse, you know, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans of hope and a future. And I wanted that. I wanted that hope and a future. So I ran down the stairs to my grandmother, and I said, I need help. Please, just whatever you can do to help me. And she had this pamphlet for Teen Challenge. She said, you know, I think this is the place for you. So I went to Teen Challenge, and one night about a month in, a pastor came and preached on fatherly love, what true fatherly love was, and the fact that there's always been a father there, you know, with his arms open, just like my grandmother, just saying, hey, I love you. You know, it says in there, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and that includes this guy right here, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And, you know, and that life doesn't have to start up in heaven. That life can start right now from this step forward. You can have that life that God is just giving you with open hands, you know. And so I fell to my knees in that chapel that evening and just repented of everything, just gave all that pain of that abuse over to God, because I couldn't handle it, but I knew that He could, you know. So I gave that all to Him. I repented of the lifestyle I'd lived, the drug use, the everything, all to Him. And since that day, I've truly been a different person. Came here to Rarysburg, joined the choir, get to sing with these guys, and I just love it. And just like the hymn that my grandmother used to sing, His Eyes on the Sparrow, says in the chorus, you know, I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I am free. Thank you very much.
When you think about us, we're going on tour September the 14th through the September the 30th. And just if we come to your mind and when you're having your devotions, just pray for us. Pray that God will be with us, that God will direct us, meet our needs on the road, and just keep his hand upon us and use us to be a blessing, and that God will lead all of these men, you know. Hopefully, you'll see them in heaven someday, and they'll remember their time here. Okay, we're going to try to sing this now, and then we will be through.
Solid rock I stand, all other ground.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.
Thank you. That was such a blessing to us. Praise the Lord. God bless you, every one of you. Now, we have them staying, right, for supper tonight, and they'll be with us again in the meeting this evening, and we have communion service tonight, gathering at the Lord's table. Well, I was really touched by that in Christ alone, to see you guys standing there, and here in the love of Christ I stand, in the power of Christ I'll stand. Praise the Lord. So that's a visual that I won't forget. And also my heart was stirred, and that's true for all of us. Praise the Lord. To know Jesus is everything. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Praise the Lord. Would you sing that with me? Number 103 in the hymn book. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's stand as we sing.
Man of sorrows.
Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
So there's another hallelujah, what a Savior, that I thought of in meeting this morning, and then it went out of my mind. Maybe we'll sing it tonight. Here's a preview. Hallelujah, what a Savior, who can save a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
What's wrong?
Hallelujah, what a Savior, who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, set him free.
Hallelujah,
I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory. The Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Wade Martin to come and pray with us. He's going to pray for you and you men going on your tour. As you said, when you think of us, pray for us. And I believe now you have a room full of people that are going to be doing that. Praise the Lord. And I hope after meeting, they're going to go over to you and tell you their names. Or sometime during supper. Okay, it's been so great. Thank you so much for coming to minister to us.
I know we all appreciate so much the ministry of Rob or Bob in the choir. Some of us were dug out of a deep, miry pit that the psalmist wrote about. And then others of you today, even as some have testified with the choir, feel like that prodigal son, that you grew up with the knowledge and you walked away from it. And all the time we had a Heavenly Father looking down on us and loved us, gave His precious Son who loved us enough to give His life for us. And I appreciate that so much. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And as I was thinking there, I just wanted to ask us to take a moment and remember back that moment, that hour, that day that you accepted Christ. What a precious Savior we have. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful today for your great love and grace that reached down to wherever we are, were, and have brought us to where we are. To be able to rejoice in the fact that we have a wonderful Savior, knowing, Lord God, that you loved each one of us so much that you sent your Son to give Himself as a sacrifice and to die for us, because you are not willing that anyone in this room, anyone, Lord God, in this world, you're not willing that any of them should perish. Lord, we thank you for these men today who have come to know you. It's not just enough to know religion, but we must come into a personal relationship with you. Thank you that you've been so faithful to seek us out, to love us and to care for us. And Lord, this afternoon, we're here to pray and ask that you'll bless each of these men. We thank you for making them such a blessing to us this afternoon. We pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to touch their hearts and their lives, Lord God. May there be even something that they receive here in these meetings today, Lord Jesus, that will just be a little spark in their spirit, Lord. Surely there's a fire burning, but Lord, even something more, Lord God, that they'll be able to share with other people and churches and different situations that they're going to be in. Again, Father, we pray your rich blessing upon them. May they be so blessed that whenever they are tempted to turn back, they'll say, no, we're going to go all the way with Jesus. Father, out of that spirit, we pray that you'll just bless the meetings that are before them, Father, in churches and jails. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that they have to be at Zion, Lord Jesus, and to be a blessing and inspiration, Heavenly Father, to those, Lord, who may be struggling to come to you. And others, Heavenly Father, who do know you, but they're going to be able to lead them and, as it were, take them by the arm to bring them a little bit closer to you, the reality, Lord, of your love in their lives. Father, again, we just thank you for these men today. Father, I thank you for Rob, Lord Jesus, and how you've directed him over the years and how you've kept him, Lord Jesus, in this ministry, Lord God. We know, Lord Jesus, that those who choose to be a minister of the gospel, that there is a price that they will pay. There are many blessings, but we know that it does not come with pain in some form or another. And so we thank you for our brother. We ask that you'll continue to bless and strengthen him, Heavenly Father, as he indeed, as it were, is a brother or even a father, Lord, to these men that he has a chance to influence. Father, again, we thank you for this day, the fresh opportunity, Lord Jesus, to be able to lift you up and to say what a wonderful Savior you are. We love you. We thank you for your grace. And again, we pray your blessings on these men and each and every one of us, Lord, that we will bring great honor and glory to your name, that we will keep our heads up high, and that we will finish this race well. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.